I believe there's one more on the phone.
Yeah, this is Jason, representing Fortis from the Education Affiliates Program.
Okay, Jason, thank you.
Everybody ready? All right. It is 10:01. Let's call this Finance Committee meeting to order. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning.
For those of you who have been here before, I'd like our executive director to give you a bit of good news.
Oh, that we're moving? This is after our next meeting at 1, this is the last time we will be meeting from this room.
Yay!
We'll have Wi-Fi at the new one. We're moving January 5th to 1740 West Adams. That is the old Department of Health Services building. They had they had gutted that building like they are going to do this one, which this one should be knocked down, but anyway. Totally redone. Most of the regulatory agencies will be moving over there, like Board of Medical Examiners, Nursing Board, ours, all the other agencies that are upstairs. However, there will be high security as opposed to here. You will have to go through, if there's the x-ray, but we do know that there's security guards and everything. So, there's been a lot of issues in this building. So, we'll finally be safe. But it'll be a lot nicer building. And we will always be in, there are three large rooms, they're all on the first floor. We will always be in conference room C. So, look forward to seeing you in January in nicer facility.
Thank you to our staff.
Oh, I could add, the bad part is, though, you guys cannot come up and see us anymore. Unless you call us and we come down and get you. I mean, literally, unless you have badges, you cannot come up past the first floor.
They might be happy not to come up and see.
That's probably true.
That's a good possibility.
That's probably true. There's a few of them. I'll be. Never mind.
Okay, why don't we get started? First on the agenda is Arizona College.
Okay. I guess, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, during staff's review of the 2018 regular vocational program and regular degree granting license renewal, staff had concerns regarding the financial status of the institutions, primarily because the parent company has had losses for the last 2 years. Accordingly, the renewal is being referred to the committee for discussion and action. There have been no current matters pending with Arizona College, and I guess I forgot to look up how long they were licensed. It's quite a while.
1991.
Thank you. Right.
Gentlemen, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Nick Mantor, I'm the president.
Brian Svensson, I'm the VP of Finance.
And Matt Calhoun, Director of Regulatory Affairs.
Okay. Do you want to share some opening remarks or give us an update?
Yeah, why don't I start off? So really, while we're here, it's because of a decision we made a couple of years ago. And the decision was essentially that our future lies in nursing. And that decision is working quite well. We started a nursing program at our Mesa campus in 2013. And started a second nursing-only campus in Las Vegas in 2015. And so today, our business is growing very fast. Our nursing program is growing particularly fast. But what you're seeing in our financial statements over the last 2 years is reflective of those decisions. We invest a lot of money to start new nursing programs, and that's essentially what happened. And the decision really was one of what is the best long-term strategy for our business. We were experiencing a lot of demand in our nursing program, which is probably nothing unique to us. At the time, with the regulatory winds in D.C., we wanted to focus on what we thought were the highest student outcome programs that we could, which also leads towards nursing and frankly, our allied health campuses were declining, which is not just fairly common in the industry. So that's really kind of what's happened over the last 2 years. And today, like I said, we're in a very good place. We will grow about 30 to 35% this year. All of our campuses are now profitable. The company as a whole is EBITDA positive at this point, and will be EBITDA positive by the end of our next fiscal year. We raised $9 million in equity from our investors in March, and much of that is still at our call. And our allied health programs are doing fine. They've stabilized. In fact, they're growing a little bit this year. They've always been profitable. They're still profitable. And so that's kind of the current state of affairs. I think what you're really seeing, you know, you're seeing our financial statements from March 31, 2017, so almost 9 months old. But, you know, we could have predicted a lot of what's happened over the last couple of years, and we're now on the other side of it. And so we as a company feel very good about where we are, and clearly our investors do too, otherwise we wouldn't have been able to attract the capital. So that's I would give you kind of, that's kind of the summary.
Thank you. Anything else?
Do you want me to start with you?
Just a few opening questions. Sentinel Peak Capital is the parent company for both Glendale and Mesa. Does it include Vegas?
Yeah. Sentinel Peak Capital is the parent company for Arizona College.
Okay.
And all the campuses are in Arizona College.
Okay. Is there any other schools other than Vegas? Vegas, Glendale, Mesa?
Today, that's all we have. Yeah. We are anticipating opening new schools going forward. Okay. That's part of the reason.
Separate OPID numbers?
All the same.
All the same.
One. Yeah.
Okay. I had a chance to look at your improvement plan. It looks very solid. I think all the suppositions there look certainly reasonable and appropriate. It does seem that you are indeed pinning all of your hopes on the nursing program. The enrollment projections for 19 are ambitious. If they don't come about, will you still make budget?
For you're talking about for
fiscal year 19.
We don't have a budget for that yet. We'd probably provide
just
you projections
projection.
For that. Well, I think if we did not start as many students as we thought, we'd have a hard time meeting our budget. Whether or not we'd be in a good financial position is, I think, a different question.
The fiscal year end is June 30th.
March 31st. Yeah. But, you know, the projections are actually based on, Ryan can speak to the details probably better than I could, but are based on us, on the nursing side, continuing to enroll as many students as we have been enrolling for the last year plus at this point. And on the allied health side, probably is flat, maybe even down.
It's a little bit down.
See this year. So, you know, we're trying to budget or project really conservatively.
And for fiscal year 17-18,
yeah,
you're projecting a positive net operating income.
Yes, we'll be at $23 million in revenue. We'll have EBITDA of $700,000 positive, roughly. And at this point, given where we are in the year, you know, we're almost 9 months into it, or 8.5 months into it, very confident about where we will come out on those. Whether or not we'll have bottom line profitability, I don't know. It'll be close. We are putting some plans in place that might get us there, but it'll be close.
So the bachelor's of science in nursing, I assume that is a completion degree, or is that is that inclusive of the associate degree and the RN?
It is just a BSN degree. So it, you know, you can come to us with nothing, and when you graduate, you'll have a BSN. It's not a completion degree. We do get students that come back for a second degree. Most of our students have some courses that they transfer, credits that they transfer in.
So in other words, you do not need an RN.
You do not need an RN. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the clinical training is done where?
In the community. I mean, 30% of it is simulation at both campuses, but the majority of it happens at acute care centers, and those are, as you may know, coming under pressure. So a fair bit of it is in kind of non-traditional clinical settings like elderly home care or schools or assisted living facilities, that sort of thing.
Okay. And when you said that the financials that we've been looking at reflect the emphasis on nursing program, were those a lot of capital investments? Or I'm trying to understand why the income statements are reflecting a decision from two years ago, if there's been continued growth.
Yeah, so 2 years ago is when we were about a year into the nursing program in Mesa, and we literally just had kicked off Vegas. And so we have invested about close to $4 million in the nursing program in Mesa. And about a little under $3 million in Las Vegas. About $1 million of that has been capital equipment and leasehold improvements and that sort of thing. But the bulk of it really is marketing, faculty, cost related to providing the education. And so, unlike sort of a lot of investments, unfortunately, a lot of it does flow through the income statement as opposed to buying capital.
No, I agree.
Okay. And then just out of curiosity, has your selling and promotional expenses, is that pretty typical from a percent either of revenue or relative to the other costs? Your revenue for the fiscal year on March 31st was $17.3 million.
Yeah.
Your selling and promotional was $4.8 million, so it's roughly 29.
Yeah, so those would be high, but it really reflects the startup nature, right? So when you're starting a program in Mesa, when we started a program in Las Vegas, you're incurring marketing expense to get new students, so you're way ahead of what the revenue would be on a percentage basis. Does that make sense?
And so you're projecting lower.
Yeah.
Both in 15, in 18, and 19.
Yeah. And so if we just continue doing what we're doing today, just to kind of answer your question, you know, our campus is today, like I said, we'll finish this year around $23 million in revenue. We would end up someplace in the $30 to $35 million in revenue range. Just based on continuing to do what we're doing, attracting the same number of students at the same cost. And so when you look at our marketing expense, we're essentially a growing $30 million business that will grow into $30 million, and we're spending as if we are already $30 million. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So
yeah.
I don't know what typical is. I don't get to see a lot of our competitors spend on this sort of thing, but I'm not surprised that ours would be high as a percent of revenue for where we are in the life of those programs.
Okay. question? So I'd like to make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve the regular vocational program and regular degree granting license renewal applications with the stipulation to post a 1.735822 surety bond. That's $1,735,822 surety bond and submit to quarterly reporting. Can I get a second?
Yes, second.
Is that acceptable to the college?
Well, I've not even heard of that this could be an outcome prior to this, so...
And this would be a recommendation that goes to the board, or this would be here?
You can do it.
Okay. Yeah. So the surety bond, do you want to explain how the surety bond works?
What the board has typically, the practice has been over the last couple of years due to the number of foreclosures that the board has had to face and the expenses, and we all know we've had to start billing for strike, to try and protect the state's liability for strike. If there are institutions facing financial concerns of the board, they have established a surety bond policy statement.
Right.
And it's 10% of the gross tuition revenue.
Okay. Where do we get this sort of thing? You guys have any?
I see most of them from Fidelity, Western Surety. There's quite a few of them.
Shoot me an email, I can send you.
Yeah, we
can.
I'm trying to think of the Art Institute that there's from.
There's, you can look. I'll pull on institutional files and see where they come from.
Okay. I mean, I can't answer your question, quite honestly, because until 5 minutes ago, didn't even know what this would be. So I guess it depends on how hard it is to get something like this, if we can make it work. Okay.
You can, usually it's within 30 days.
Right.
You can. So, I guess I would say that if you are unable or wish to have it reconsidered or challenge, it's not a really good word. It could go before the board in January.
Right.
Or if you secure the bond based upon their recommendation, the renewal could be processed as approved.
Usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll look into it and figure it out.
Okay, so that we'll defer action, or we
no,
will approve?
No, if they post.
So we'll approve, so the vote will be to approve the renewal pending conditional on the bond, and if not, then we'll see you in January.
And to submit to quarterly reporting.
And submit
so
to quarterly reporting.
Every quarter, you'd submit the quarterly reports that the board has and appear before the Finance Committee.
Okay.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Arizona Heart Institute, School of Cardiac Ultrasound.
Paula's been here.
What's that?
Paula's been here.
I've been here.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, at your December 2016 Finance Committee, Mr. Walzer made the motion to approve the regular vocational program license with the stipulations that the $52,900 surety bond be maintained and to continue quarterly recording. Arizona Heart Institute has submitted the quarterly reports as required and prepared before the Finance Committee, and they are scheduled for the January 2018 license agreement.
Ms. Bennett, do you want to give us an update?
I just want to clarify, sure, that it's the Arizona Heart Foundation. The Arizona Heart Institute is a separate entity. It used to be owned by Dr. Dietrich as well as the foundation. However, that's been sold as of 2010, I believe. And that's a physician's practice now owned by Abrazo Healthcare. The foundation is sold and separate, and it's a nonprofit. I just want to make that clear.
Thank you, because otherwise we would have approved the renewal for a completely different entity.
Right.
Any other update? Do you have any other news to report? Anything happened in the last 6 months or so?
Well, the last time I was here, we did, we sold the building, and we're completely debt-free. It's a most wonderful feeling. We have taken our cardiac and vascular ultrasound program, and we have divided it into two separate programs, mostly because of the demand. Students that were in the cardiac and vascular program, some wanted just cardiac, some wanted just vascular, so we felt it was a little easier for us just to separate them. So there's two. I'm not sure, Terry, if this is for the license renewal for the two new programs, or is this the old program?
No, this is just the renewal.
Okay, just the renewal. So we're excited because we're able to increase our students significantly with two different schools. So we're happy about that. And we're just starting with new programs in nursing, actually working with Arizona College on a couple of projects that they seem quite excited about. So we're happy about that, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the school is going to be able to have their own financial statements apart from the foundation.
Yes. And I think Sean's on the phone, Terry. I'm not sure.
Mr. Kerrigan, are you on the phone? Okay.
I'm here. Yeah.
And can you provide us a little update as to how you project the year end in terms of your financial statements?
Sure. I'll let Sean do that.
Well, I mean, for our fiscal year end ended in June. I believe you have our external statements in front of you on that. So what we are, our budget for the calendar year, as Paul mentioned, we're going to be adding another program or splitting programs into two sectors, if you will. So projections for 2018, that will start in March, the month of February of 2019. My call is we'll be doubling our new space. Finally getting to a break-even point and beyond. So our projections will be profitable for the calendar year of 2018.
Okay, thank you.
Good. So I have all these tabs that I put on the financials because whatever, we had 14 schools, and so by the time I get to the 14th school, I've forgotten about whatever it was that we were reviewing. So I have these color-coded tabs. And so you notice there's green and green, which means that the sale of the building increased your current assets by your cash by $1.6 million, and your current assets by $1.5 million. I'm not sure exactly how that would work out.
We had to pay a commission of
$100,000. Okay. Okay, good. So that is in the 9:30 update. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And so I don't have any other questions unless you read Mr.
Looks like you're proceeding as you had planned.
Mm-hmm. And so can I ask from a staff standpoint, I believe that we would be okay without the quarterly reporting. I would be interested to consider, to have a conversation about whether to maintain quarterly reporting or not. Certainly the infusion of cash improves the balance sheet, and I think the from an operating budget standpoint, it looks like they are on track to be profitable. It's a non-profit, so you'll increase your net assets. So,
it's totally your decision.
Okay, so
you go down from 13 to 13.
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. No self-serving. No.
Terry wants to do rock, scissors, paper.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine with approving the regular vocational license with the stipulation to maintain the surety bond. Period.
Second.
Okay. Are you open? Are you? Do you accept those terms? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay.
You're gonna miss me.
Thank you.
I am. That I did not expect.
We'll see you once. Do we see them once a year or not yet?
It's usually down staff level on the list.
Oh well, I didn't know we weren't going
to
see you at all.
Whatever you want.
Jeez, you don't get to see our new place.
I'll come back. Be happy to. It'll
oh,
be
yeah,
a good
right.
Day.
Come back for the house one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, Medline School of Transcription.
Mr. Sines is on the phone. Mr. Sines, is Ms. Perkins on the phone? Okay. I'll just go ahead and do a brief introduction. Medline is seeking renewal of their 2017 regular vocational license. During the review of the financial statement, staff had concerns regarding the two-year losses and referred the renewal to the Finance Committee. At the last committee meeting in September, you did review it. However, the committee postponed action and requested the following: corrected fiscal year and financial statements according to GAAP, corrected in-house financial statements according to GAAP. And you also had questions regarding the bad debt write-off and the calculation of tuition. They did supply to you as
letter
requested, and Mr. Sines and Mr. Gabriel are on one for you.
Great, thank you. Would you like to give us an update, please?
Yeah, we're happy to report that we're positive for the year right now. We're at plus 2,500. Over this last year, we've actually increased our income compared to last year by about 20%, while also decreasing our cost by about 20%.
Maybe I can add, the main issue that came out of the last meeting, they were speaking, was you weren't able to reconcile our tuitions with our enrollment of students. And the issue was that our enrollment, the number you were working with, and we reported in the earlier reports, was incorrect. So we did a complete reconciliation of all active students, which brought that number to 88 active students at the time we did the reconciliation about a month ago. And that supports the tuition, the income for the business that we're reporting. So we're standing behind the previous fiscal or financial reports, but correcting the enrollment number, which was overstated.
Okay. And so the number went from what you previously reported to the current number. Could you just give us those numbers again?
Yes. We're currently at 88 students. We were when we did the reconciliation. What we did is we went through every open file with every student and determined their status, because the previous method of counting enrolled or active students was based on additions and reductions from an original number we had from the previous owner, and that proved to be getting more and more inaccurate. And so we now stand behind this 88 student count that we recently reported.
Okay. All right.
And that was throwing everything off because you're using a much larger number of things, but your revenue is way too low for that number of students. So you're correct.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for doing that.
Mr. Science, this is Mr. Lubke. Can you tell us what is your year end December 31st?
Regular chamber, I think that's when our year end was, and yes, it is the 31st.
Can you tell us a little bit about your where your cash status is at the moment?
We are, as far as the bank or?
Bank, pillow, yeah, anything in that.
we're about 3,000.
So you're operating.
Oh, yeah, our next student payment will be in just a couple of days. I'm both fine counting that.
So you're operating a business.
So basically, the way our students go is depending on when they enroll, their tuition is either applied or billed on, or applied on the 15th or the 28th.
Okay. And you're able to make payroll with only $3,000 of cash in the bank?
The student enrollments that we will receive on the 15th will more than cover the payroll.
I want to go back to an earlier item that was brought up by the board regarding how you're treating bad debt. Can you explain to the committee how you age bad debt?
We do not have any more bad debt. We let our accountant handle that when he did the year-end statement, but we don't have any more bad debt on the books.
Okay, so let me be more specific. When you carry an accounts payable, how long will you carry that account before it's termed bad debt?
In the past, I think...
An account receivable.
Well, I think you meant receivable, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Accounts receivable?
Yes.
Yeah.
How long will you carry a receivable before it gets classified as bad debt, no longer collectible?
In the past, after a few months, we would turn it over to collections, and then if it hadn't resolved in a year, we would consider it a bad debt, and we wouldn't expect it to be collectible at that point.
We approve the regular vocational and degree granting license with stipulation that $15,000 surety bond be maintained and that the school would continue to submit to quarterly reports.
They do. They have in the past, then they haven't.
So,
can I clarify, we're not degree granting. You mentioned the word degree granting. We're just vocational. So I don't know if I misheard that wrong on the phone.
No, you did not miss. We didn't want to upgrade you, but
Never mind.
My notes had graduate degree granting.
Sorry.
I will second that. Do you agree to the terms, Mr. Simons?
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2018.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Dental assisting, Dr. Fulcher.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Yes,
very, very briefly, at your January 2017 meeting, the board approved the conditional to regular vocational program license renewal with the stipulations that the $100,000 surety bond be maintained. Several revisions were required to the enrollment agreement and catalog and to continue quarterly reporting. They have continued to submit their quarterly reports and they are now seeking renewal for the 2018 license.
Dr. Fulcher,
yes.
Can you give us an update?
Everything's continued to do well and we'll move forward. And just started another class last night with 15 students, so we'll just move in right along.
So what does that bring your total enrollment to right now?
current enrollment, 38. 23 and 15 in the two classes that are going up now.
Okay. Anything else?
Other than just asking to be off financial reporting. That's it.
You don't like coming to our meetings?
No, I love it, actually.
Is that why you're all dressed? This is like the most dressed up I've ever seen you.
Oh, really? I usually actually have a tie on.
He does amuse me, though.
What?
Him. He's great money.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
No, just more of a comment that it seems like your financials are trending in the right direction, that the profit is appropriate, and expenses seem to be in order, so I recommend that you take them off reporting.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say more or less the same thing. I guess the only question is, originally, you were not practicing when you first opened the school,
mm-hmm.
I think because of I think it was like an overuse injury or something like that, and so a lot of dental revenues. Is that all you, or
no,
did
we have
you bring
another
on other dentists?
We have another dentist in there.
Okay.
80% of it is probably me, though.
Okay, so you're doing okay.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, hanging in there.
Okay. So, I'll make a motion to approve the regular vocational and degree granting licenses with
this. Can I do that again?
Probably.
Approve the regular vocational license with a stipulation to maintain the $100,000 surety bond. Quarterly reporting no longer required. You didn't even have to get dressed up because everybody had already arrived at that conclusion. Give me a second. Do you agree to those stipulations?
Yes.
Okay. Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Bye. Congratulations. Really nicely done.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Reports. I think first up is advanced business learning.
Review purposes only.
For review only.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Sam Jenkins, President and CEO of Advanced Business Learning.
I'm Susan Morris, Senior Vice President of Advanced Business Learning.
Okay, welcome.
Yes.
So, what's new?
Opening remarks. So, although ABL is obviously showing a loss, we did spend money to make money and invested in expanding our sales force. And it has significantly paid off. We have some new contracts coming in the private sector, our commercial sector, our federal government sector, as well as we are working with several city and state education and training support organizations, management organizations that run and fund work with WIOA. So we fully expect, if not first quarter of 2018, certainly by second quarter, depending on how fast the contracts are executed, the situation will absolutely change and our profit will be significant. The school is showing a small profit. Those students, and on the financials, we've segregated the school per your request. Our students, it's a small profit, small numbers. Those are res care and kind of students. We had designed the school originally to support for funding from WIOA, and as you know, the county and the city stopped WIOA funding in January of this year and only started funding again in November 1st. That's one of the contracts that we're actually expecting to come in. So now that WIOA funding is flowing again, 10 months, 9 months out of the year, no WIOA funding certainly impacted the school. So that's where we are. We're extremely confident in our three sectors, again, federal, commercial, and WIOA funding through the organizations that we're working with and getting contracts with.
Great. Anything else, Mr. Jenkins?
That covers it. We practiced before we got
here.
How many students do you have right now?
Seven. Yeah, seven.
And will they carry over into the new year?
Once we receive the ResCare funding, the students participate in our online classes and mentoring for about 6 months. So yes, they will carry over, but the money comes in before they start.
Okay. But you're projecting that the school will finish in the black for a calendar year, fiscal year.
That is correct.
That's right. Yeah.
These are actual numbers, not projections. These are ResCare and TANF contracts that we have finalized.
Is the WIOA, is that what's reflected as the NRC bundled fees? Because I noticed in your 2016 financial statements, there's under income $688,669 in attributed to NRC bundled fees on the income statement for 2016.
I don't have 2016 income with me. I only brought 2017. I'm sorry.
But NRC stands for Navy Recruiting
Command.
That was a 5-year contract we had worth about $6.5, almost $7 million.
Okay. So that explains why it's not,
right?
There's
right.
none
that
in 2017.
That contract is now over.
Okay.
But the great references we got from that contract got us other government contracts. Or that little anecdotal piece in.
Great. And so the WIOA, how does that show up in your income statement?
It shows up as school tuition.
So AZPS school
tuition.
Courses.
Right, courses, yes.
So just that. And the other things, facilitation. What's product?
Product on the...
For income, you have... For this year, for 9 months, you've got $209,000. For the previous year, $283,000.
Right.
Just...
Sure. Just. Product is the training that we sell to corporate clients, for example. So we sell customer service training to Allstate. They buy workbooks that they use in the training classes. That's really our product. Those
Not
are our
just
products.
The books. Those are expensive books.
They're expensive yeah. books.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We love Allstate.
Yes. And then I know that you said extremely confident about the coming quarters. From a current asset standpoint, you're like a tenth of your liabilities. Do you have enough cash and liquidity to meet your current liabilities until those contracts actually come in?
Yes, we've got $117,000 in cash, and we are confident that well before that cash is depleted, the new contracts will be forthcoming.
Well, one of the new contracts in particular, as of this morning's phone call, they are ready to start sending us people today. So we actually are the ones who have to get our registration and onboarding done today and tomorrow.
So you need to get out of here.
And then...
thank you, yes.
Then we can open up the gates to the 10,000 Navy people that are looking our way.
Okay. What's the training that you're going to do?
For the 10,000? It's one of the bigger commands in the U.S. Navy. And they have identified 4,000 of their cybersecurity-specific people that they want to go through a hands-on, real-world lab experience. And they've got another 6,000 that are a blend of IT and cyber. They want them to go through the same thing. We will work with them over the coming months to determine what the flow will be. And they will be put into our lab environment in 30-day increment and 3-month increments. That's going to be a diploma-based course that they'll come out of. And we've agreed on all terms and conditions and pricing and payroll and other procurement. And so everything starts as of tomorrow.
And just to clarify, the cybersecurity hands-on experience lab is not in our course catalog. So when we report those numbers, we know that the school will do well. But that financial income will be under other income, not under the school. But we are confident that the school is, in fact, through the other contracts that we have.
Yep.
And with WIOA opening up, that the school will be reporting as well profit in the next 6 months.
Okay. So, just interested.
Sure.
In what you do.
Away. Yes.
So, do you have I'm looking at your balance sheet, do you have some super asset software laboratory or something that, for you to get a contract for 10,000 people to do a simulation, a cybersecurity simulation, I'm just wondering, do you put that on your balance sheet or how to?
It's not an asset on the balance sheet. It will be. It's not a simulation either. This is really kind of a fine line. It's an actual live lab environment with remote access. So it's not a thing that is an asset in essence, because our students are actually working on Kali Linux tools. That's a cybersecurity software set of tools that's in the public domain.
Okay. So none of it is kind of proprietary to Advanced Business Learning.
The learning environment is proprietary to Advanced Business Learning. The components of it, some of it is public domain material. The instructors that we have are proprietary to us. The room we're in with all the lab equipment and all the hardware and the software and the simulations we've built in the software, those are all proprietary to us. So we will be branding the lab experience as a proprietary ABL experience.
It's going into the Navy catalog as a program. It's not going to be in our catalog as a program.
Okay. I'm just wondering...
Yeah.
For as exciting as that sounds, it would seem that it would be a really valuable asset that would increase the value of the company.
We're assuming so, how we're going to construct it so that it goes into a balance sheet and work out with our accountant.
Yes, and the lab is relatively new.
Okay. Good.
But the only one the Navy has ever found of its quality. So we tried to break it, and it couldn't.
Right here, Scottsdale. Right?
They could tell you more, but they'd have to kill you.
I know. We're tiptoeing around that possibility.
Security issues.
Only so much we can say.
Is there anything else that we need to know about this thing?
No, I don't know.
Great. Well, go and get registered and do whatever you have to do.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Take care. Good seeing you.
Arizona Vocational Training Institute.
Morning.
Hey.
Morning.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Mark Regarin. I'm the director of one of the.
My name is Matthew Breach. I'm a CPA and financial manager.
Thank you. You want to give us an update?
A couple of new things are coming up. This last quarter, we got more students, and then we also going to be selling the school.
Oh.
And
by the way.
Yes. And then the first of the year this coming year. One of the owners came, and we met with Ms. Stanfla this week. And so they're going to have a large injection, financial injection, the first of the year. School. So I can tell you some of the actual financials right now.
Well, we submitted our quarterly report in September, so you have that. the financial condition hasn't changed too much. It's still fairly break even. So, but we have all the resources and infrastructure. The investors that are purchasing the school already have 200 HVAC trade schools. So they're buying 100% of the company. We'll transition to them. They have strong financial resources. They already have the connections with the VA. That's their huge market. Two other schools. So this will really change the financial position and size of the school.
Are the investors, do they have accredited schools or are they not accredited?
They got one accredited school and one full secondary school.
Mr. Regarin, will you be staying on with the school?
Yes, I will be as a consultant. Then I plan to retire after that.
Retire?
Yes, sir.
And none of the intellectual property is part of the sale, so they're going to license all that from us for this school and hopefully a couple of years.
And it's the retirement.
Yes. We like to say rewirement. Rewire to do something different.
Yes, sir.
And you mentioned that you had a pretty good quarter in terms of new enrollments.
Yes.
How many students?
Right now we have 28.
28 students.
So, yeah, those students will go through on the CREP program.
Yes.
And finish out. The new owners, the way they run programs at the other schools is they do kind of an accelerated, concentrated class. So it's just a month long. So they do 200 hours in a month. So we're going to try and finish the current curriculum with the current students, and then they're going to hopefully, after everything gets approved, move to the kind of a new format that they follow in the other schools.
And how many of the existing students will carry over to the new school?
22.
Will they be writing new enrollment agreements then with the new school? How does that interface between your current operation?
The agreement is the students are going to continue to finish their 200 hours to sign up. And some of them paid already up front, and the ones that are paying in payments, they will continue making the payments with the new school, with the new owner.
So I don't think there's going to be a new agreement. I think they're just going to handle the existing agreement.
Educational services.
So those students can.
So they're complete. I'm sorry. They're complete in the program they enrolled in. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, and then so those 22 students, even though they're under the new owner, are going to complete your program.
The training, yes. The training they sign up for, they will complete it with the new.
The new owner will,
yes, will honor that.
Will honor that,
and that's why he's staying on as a consultant to finish out.
And I'm going to be I'm an instructor right now, the lead instructor. So I'm going to continue with my current students to finish that program.
Okay. And you don't anticipate seeing any surprise charges for these students.
They're locked to the tuition. Okay. Now, the new students that they will have next year, we made changes with the prices already.
Something different. Okay.
Yes.
You had mentioned in the previous meeting that you were negotiating a new lease. Is that still?
Oh yes, they already met the landlord, and they put all the financials, and they're moving forward, and they're going to be getting it for another 18 months.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Anything else?
Merry Christmas.
Great.
Congratulations on your
sale. Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
Brighton College. Introduce yourself.
I'm Paul Zignoni, president of Brighton College.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to update us with it?
I will. We're going through our 5-year reaccreditation with the EAC. We had our site visit middle of October, and we got our chair report back as well. So we're going through our response to that, which is due tomorrow at 2 p.m. So we're in the process of responding to that. And with that, we couldn't make any changes until our site visit. So right after the site visit, I think we talked about this last time, we implemented our private student loans, which was our first step in getting to profitability, when the cash flow. The good news is, the month of November, we did cash flow with private student loans. We've gotten about $92,000 of cash, with about $89,000 going out. So that seems to have worked. It looks like we're going to cash flow in December as well. And so the next step is to get to profitability, Q1 of 2018. And as you can imagine, we have to put together a pretty tight budget for DEAC. We're submitting tomorrow as well to show in Q1 how we'll become profitable. We've looked at how we recognize revenue. We recognize revenue by courses released. When we release a course, that's when we actually recognize the revenue. And we were recognizing revenue about $225 per credit hour. We looked at our actuals the last 6 months, and it's a little higher than that. Based on the students we enrolled, we're about $241 per credit hour. So we adjusted that. But we need to enroll more students, and so we actually looked in the first quarter of next year, we need to enroll about 40 more students a month. So we've actually broken it down into where those students will come from. We have meetings with certain organizations that we're currently working with, and how we can increase enrollments from those organizations, by organizations, submitted at the DEAC, submitted the budget, and what we're looking at is a break-even by the end of Q1 next year. So cash flow now, break-even next year. So far, it looks like it's going to be positive.
Okay.
So that's what we're at.
Thank you.
So how does your submitting for DEAC, when will you hear whether they've approved you for reaccredited?
They have a board meeting in January. I don't know the exact date, but that's why we're in a rush to get it. We have to get it submitted by tomorrow midday to get it into that board meeting. And the results back were not bad. I mean, as you know, all accrediting agencies are a lot tighter and more rigorous than you. We had a lot of partially meets expectations, which is okay. And we just purchased a school 2 years ago, and we purchased it. It wasn't in the best of conditions. It was a lot of work to get done. I mean, we've now implemented a new LMS, a new SIS, all those things you typically do, and tighten a lot of things up. So the resubmission, answering their questions, not too bad.
You're helpful.
Hopefully, right? I wasn't as depressed as I thought I might be.
Okay.
So yes, it was okay.
And how many students do you have right now?
This last count was around 360, 357, I think. We had more graduate. We run about 370 or so typically.
Okay. You mentioned that in terms of revenue recognition, you do it by the course. How long are those courses?
8 weeks.
So
we recognize it in 4 weeks, $241 every four, each 4 weeks.
Every month then?
Yeah, every month, right.
I noticed in the minutes that I had asked a question about a $275,000 expense each year, and you said you were going to research and get back to Terry.
Uh-oh.
What was that?
With this reaccreditation, I might not have done that. I'm not sure.
I was just looking through the previous financials to try to figure out what I was referring to. So on line 15 of your quarterly report, it references $275,000 of other expenses, and so that's outside of your operating expenses. So that's apart from textbooks, instructional salaries, student recruitment, depreciation, occupancy, administrative, officer salaries, and student services, which are $561,000 for your operating expenses. And
it's listed as other?
And then listed as other income and expense is minus negative $318,000.
further questions on the other expenses, $275,000 on line 15 of the quarterly report.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I went through your current income statement, which shows a loss of $348,000. And so just in terms of like your revenue and all of your operating expenses, you know, you have a loss of $29,000. Then you have this other piece in it. It's a big loss.
It's a big loss. Yeah, let me think. Do I email back or wait till the next meeting? What would you like?
I would email it back to me, but also when you resubmit these reports, submit a written explanation.
Okay.
Good. And you have sufficient assets to cover your costs during this transition period?
We do. We have a $500,000 line of credit with one partner. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Commercial divers.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Tyler Clark, Operations Administrator for Commercial Divers International.
I'm Richard Phillips, President and Owner of Commercial Divers International.
Great. Would you like to share with us today?
Well, we're fighting a good battle here. So, you know, we currently have, so this year here we'll have five classes. We have just graduated two. We're proud that every one of our students so far is working in an industry that, you know, basically wants to work. And we've got 24 current students on campus, and everything, you know, is going good.
Thanks.
I'm just, you know, a little slow in the beginning of the year, you know, exposure and getting awareness for that for our program has definitely been a battle, but we're getting there and things look a lot more positive compared to last year.
We're slated to, we've booked 8 dates for 2018 for classes. So we're, you know, climbing the ladder. But so we have a lot of steps to go.
It's a big ladder.
Yeah, it's a big ladder. We're looking forward to some, you know, upcoming milestones. You know, we're looking to be accredited. We're looking for post 9/11 GI, since our industry is really driven by military veterans. But that ladder has dates associated with it.
You don't want to go too fast because you'll get the bends.
No, that's for sure. We have recompression chambers on site.
So tell us, like, where when you have dates. I know that you have you reserve boat time, and you have a
no. We own all that stuff.
So you own all that stuff, and so is it where do you go?
So the way our program works is it's basically about 671 hours. About 250 of it is done on campus in the physics, physiology, diving, medicine, seamanship, and rigging, things like that. Once we get through that program. Then they go out into the recompression chamber and they learn that side of it. Then we have four tanks now on site that have about 100,000 gallons total of water. And we're taking the philosophy that there's basically about 6 schools in the country that do this. But we like to train everyone in a controlled environment so they get used to the equipment and the tools they're going to work with. Then we take them up to the lake, up at Lake Pleasant, and we do their open water, and they do about 20% of the program, 15 to 20% of the program up at the lake, so they get actually real-life experiences once they're comfortable with the helmets and the gear. And one thing that we're proud of is we offer this thing called the helmet experience, where we let them get in the helmet at the school for a few hours before. because we feel that it's, and we're actually the only school doing it, but we feel like that it really prepares them for what they're signing up for, because this only works if we get them in the workforce. And, you know, I owned a diving company for 18 years. So, I mean, I have a lot of friends that, you know, need divers. So that's how, that was the mission for this.
And when you say helmet, you mean?
I was going to say, what's the helmet?
It's like all service supplied, you know, yeah.
Okay.
Great. It's not like an open water diver thing. It's pretty incredible. Their campus and the tanks and stuff they have there. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
And your projection for year end is going to be in the black?
This year is going to be in the red just because it's such low enrollment in the beginning of the year. But next year, I think we'll be fine.
How much in the red?
Well, we had projected this year that we were going to have a negative of about $228,000, but we're actually, you know, right now only at about $85,000 negative. So, and a lot of that has to do with, too, in the financial statements, there's almost $1 million that basically I'm the creditor. I own the building and I own the equipment and everything else, but it's just booked on here as a AP because at some point I'd like to get paid. I haven't drawn salary at all this year, so that's why when you look at the statement, the owner's, the officer salaries are zero.
How's your cash position is right now?
I've injected about 60,000 cash this year. And, you know, I don't put a bunch in at one time. I don't have a big pile at home. I mean, I'm set that I can inject as needed. And so far, that's been okay.
And all of your students are on private pay? You've got them on payment plans?
They're on private pay with a company that we're doing business with, and we also have we've been successful with bringing on some DES students that the DES is funding, and we've got them all jobs in the workforce today. So that's going good.
And you have 8 start dates for next year.
Yes, sir.
And that compares to how many this past year?
5.
5.
So we're eagerly wanting to grow, but we also understand I owned a construction business that did about $7 million in annual sales, and I started a long time doing $400,000 in annual sales. So there's a stair step.
Sure. What do you find to be the most challenging part of your plan right now?
The biggest thing right now is, I mean, I totally respect what you folks are doing. I understand that this is basically consumer protection in all reality. For the student, but the biggest hurdle that we have is financing, lack of good financing options, you know, just because of all the restrictions for, you know, accreditation process, for a GI Bill process, for, you know, that's been the biggest hurdle. And I knew about 90% of that through my due diligence prior to opening the school. I wish I would have got the other 10%, so I would have been more prepared. So that's been the biggest. Actually, that's really only been the only hurdle.
Well, fortunately, I don't think we have any responsibility for any of those.
There's gentlemen sitting behind us that's tried to help us and things like that. I mean, I don't think there's not a magic button. It's a time game. You just got to weather it.
So I just want to acknowledge that you've increased tuition, you've decreased your cost of goods sold over the last year. And I guess, will just more enrollment lead to profitability, or do you need
more
to make some changes because you're still operating in the black,
yeah,
in the red, with right. increased enrollment?
When we get GI Bill done through the VA, that'll really help us because there's a lot of students who we're turning down, and with our financing right now, you know, we end up getting about 50% of the tuition per student. Once we can take the GI Bill, that'll go up to about 70.
In other words, you're discounting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're having to sell. We're selling a tuition note for OE, and we would actually have been profitable this year with this few of students if we would have been able to retain our own, you know, enrollment, you know, price. Mm-hmm. So one thing we are working with another company back east in New York. As a matter of fact, I have another meeting with them tomorrow on the phone to maybe try to get some better financing options for our students. That's really the hurdle.
Okay. And you injected, it looks like, $250,000 into the business over this last year.
That sounds about
right.
Right. Yes, sir.
Great. Well, obviously, you put your money where you're going.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Wish you the best.
Yeah. However, I would say, have you, am I allowed to make a book recommendation? Have you seen the book Manhattan Beach?
The book Manhattan Beach, no, sir.
Yeah. It's a book about the Brooklyn Navy Yards in World War II, and a woman who becomes a diver. I think the same kind that you're describing. And there's also organized crime involved. It's a really good book. So, but it has when you said the diving helmet, there's a whole section about her like putting on the suit, which weighed I think 200 pounds. So it was really, it was interesting.
Give you some ideas.
Some new funding sources.
And you're reading. Yeah, you could write a book about it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. All right. Have a really wonderful rest of the year. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Hi, Cummings Graduate Institute for Behavioral Health Studies.
Kara had a family emergency late last night, and so she cannot attend today. So she passes her notes. Thank you.
Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Amanda Garrison. I'm the Director of Operations at CGI, and I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. And this is Adam.
My name is Adam Painter. I'm a controller that works with the Institute.
Did Dr. English say that we were going to totally grill you?
Well, I've been to him in the past, and I get nervous being in front of people anyways. I like to be behind the scenes.
Well, Kara. Kara did most of the front work.
All right, well, take a deep breath.
I know. I'm like, I got my notes. I'm good to go. First time jitters, right?
What would you like to share with us this morning?
I actually do have a good update. So, I have a couple of reminders. In the last report we had updated you about the accreditation. We submitted our application. The application was accepted. We submitted our self-evaluation report, and so now we're technically in readiness. Basically, they're reviewing our self-evaluation report and all the exhibits, and we're supposed to hear back at the first of the year pending their schedule, so we're kind of in a standstill right now. At this point, no news is good news until we get the news of what we need to do. But like I said, we should hear the first of the year, January. In the quarter three financials, I included our gift agreement with the Cummings Foundation. That shows to the end of December 31st, 2018. So the plan to ask for an extension of that will come after readiness, where we kind of see what direction we're going to go with next steps with our accreditation application. And so my plan is to have a meeting with our board of directors in quarter two of 2018 to ask for the extension to show evidence of our strategic plan and institutional effectiveness plan and budgets and all that kind of stuff, and kind of outline what we need to move forward in 2019 post-accreditation application. In addition, I put the loan and demand write-off in there, so you can see that we no longer have any long-term liabilities with that note. Moving forward, our enrollment numbers for spring one, we have two new enrollees and then one deferred start from fall. She had a family emergency, and so she deferred her start until spring, so we technically have three. Because we're unaccredited and such like a niche program, our goal is about five new enrollees each year for our doctoral program. So we're just counting that as two new starts. So we have three to go for the fall, and we have currently two right now in the final stages of the application process for fall. So we're doing well. And then we actually graduated, or we five of our students passed and defended their culminating project. And so they will be graduating in May, where we're hosting our second integrated care conference, or in March, I'm sorry, not May, our second integrated care conference. We're gonna do a combination of the conference and commencement so they can do their posters and stuff at the conference.
Where will that be?
It will be in Scottsdale at the Canby Hotel there.
Okay.
That's my report.
Amanda, do you expect that the charitable income is gonna continue from year to year to year? Or is
yeah.
there a point in time where that'll go away?
The conversation that I've had with the board, specifically Brett Sabatini, who is the financial person of the Cummings Foundations, is that the agreement, the vocal agreement between us and them is that as long as we're continuing to meet the mission, vision, values of the institution and accreditation and the strategic plans and the institutional effectiveness plan, as long as we're going in the path that we've said we're going to go in, the money will continue to come in, but we still have to show evidence of the work that we're doing. And so that's where we really focused and honed in on the strategic plans and institutional effectiveness plan this year through the accreditation application process. And now it's just collecting the evidence to show the proof of us doing what we're doing.
So it looked like in 2016, the foundation gave roughly about $725,000. Does that sound about right?
Can you say it one more time?
It looked like in calendar year 2016, that they gave about $725,000.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
And this year, maybe...
It's about $965,400. It's $241,400 every quarter we receive from them.
And that's to supplement the education for 5 students a year.
Yes.
Man, that's some serious passion there. That.
Yeah.
So, only for my own edification, not to grill you.
No, it's okay.
So when the graduates finish with their doctorate, where do they go out to practice?
Yeah.
And why does Cummings Institute feel so passionate that they would contribute, on average, $50,000 to supplement the education of these doctoral students?
This is when I wish Kara was here and Dr. English was here, because this is her language. But Dr. Cummings had started a school at, or a program at Arizona State University for behavioral health and specifically integrated care. And so his vision is to better the way the world experiences healthcare. The cost of healthcare, just the way it's performed, and that mental health and physical health really do coincide with one another. And so the program, like I said, was originally at Arizona State University, and then because of differencing of opinions of where the program should go, he decided to open up his own school. And so we had 5 graduating students, but as of end of fall term, we had, I believe, 13 students enrolled. The plan is for post-accreditation, everything's, we call it post-support lifts because we are for the Pegasus and that kind of stuff. And so post-apocalypse, so it's like, I'm rambling because I'm nervous, but the Pegasus, so it's like the pig unicorn is our mascot, so it's okay. Like post-apocalypse. Anyway, okay, sorry. I'm nervous, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And
I
so,
can't wait to see the school's mascot.
Yeah, I will bring it next, I'll submit it as the cover letter in our report next day.
Or you can come dressed up as the mascot.
Yeah. And so... The plan is afterwards, once they become accredited, once the doctoral program is accredited, to then expand into like workforce development. So a majority of our students are already practicing or own their own practice in behavioral health, and so this will help them learn how to do more of like the integrated whole person care beyond that.
Thank you.
I hope that answered.
It did. Thank you
long.
Very much.
So I was here when Dr. English... answered a very similar question. And I would say that tell Dr. English that we thought that you did a better job.
Yeah.
No, but she did talk about this in terms of where people go and practice or work in correctional facilities.
Yeah, we have a student right now he's a graduate now, but his culminating project was with minors in correctional facilities, and so a lot of like mental problems that they were having or physical problems that they were having were coming from them just being medicated instead of like cared for, but because in the correctional facilities it's just a low priority. And so what he did was he did like a radio streaming through the correctional facilities of like meditating guided meditation, And he actually, I don't know what his final numbers were, but there was like significant improvement in the behavioral and physical change of the minors in the correctional facility and their health and the decrease in medication that had to be administered.
So the Cummings approach, I can't remember if that's the term, but it was
the
Biodyne
approach is unique to the Cummings Institute, number one.
Yeah.
And then how many other schools are there that offer the doctor of behavioral health that would be your kind of natural sort of competitive environment once you do become?
Yeah. Arizona State still continues their program. They use some of what Dr. Cummings had, but not all of it anymore because he took a lot of the knowledge with him. And then there's another school in Tennessee, I think it's called Reed Hartman, and they offer a doctor of behavioral health. But besides that, I have not been told of one or come across one that's a competitor, which is actually kind of coming up as a little bit of a struggle with our accreditation because they don't have anybody to compare us to. So,
okay.
So, can I ask Ms. Harrison, should we
drill Adam
a little bit, and get you off the hot seat?
Please. I don't know. It depends on what you ask.
So,
drill away. He looks ready.
So, I noted also with green highlights because those are kind of reflected the gift. The loan forgiveness from the foundation. I guess the question is, I didn't see it because you're the controller, right?
Sure.
So I didn't see it in the income for the current fiscal year.
The debt forgiveness?
No, the gift.
That is included on.
It goes in the other income and expense. It's included in there.
Yeah, around 15.
Look at your P&L.
It's under. It's the charitable contribution, so it's under 73,000, and then alphabetically after CGI meals, it says charitable contribution income, and then you can see the 724,201.
Let's see where that is. Page, what page is it?
Page 4 of the first P&L.
For January through September 2017.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Page 4.
About the seventh line down.
Seventh line down. Charitable contribution income. Minus 724. Okay, so you have it under expenses, not under revenue. And so that's the 724. Is that the three payments of 240-something thousand dollars? And then what about the gift agreement?
The loan or the gift?
The gift agreement is for $1.46 million.
So that same report, page 5. We under the other income expenses, debt forgiveness, it's listed there. The very last page.
So, but isn't that two separate events? One is the debt forgiveness because you were carrying a long-term liability in previous financial statements, and the foundation forgave that $1,050,000, right? And then in addition, you have a pledge here.
That's an accumulated total through the end of the agreement.
Right, but this is moving forward from July 1st, 2017 through July of 2019.
December 31st, 2018.
Okay. Of new money, not the $1,050,000.
Correct.
So where is this in your financial statement?
That's being recognized as it's received.
Okay.
One of the things we discussed was FAS 116 that talks about contributions. And so consulting with some other people in our group because there's no hardline restriction as in by this date this must happen or by this date this must happen. No restrictions as to when that is going to be.
Other than by the end of the 2018.
Correct.
Correct.
So it's just more along the lines of a soft terms of continue to abide by the guidelines.
Okay. I was going to say, although my colleague here, we're going to give you like the pros and cons for booking it when you receive the money, so you're improving your statement on a quarterly basis by treating it the way you're treating it. On the other hand, from an accreditation standpoint, you may just want to talk to either your board or your audit firm about present valuing gift, which is almost $1.5 million.
Book as receivable.
And you would book it as a receivable because that way you would, as I understand it, you would be able to book 70% of it today, which would look really good on your balance sheet and on your income statement because it would be income for this year as opposed to showing an operating loss, and if the foundation, has the kind of connection, not just commitment to the institution, you think this is going to, if you do what you say you're going to do, which includes accreditation, it may be to your advantage to treat it like that. Because as I understand it, with the gift agreement that you showed us, that it could be booked as a in this fiscal year. And so it's up to you guys.
Can I ask
you
a question?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we had talked about for 2018 was actually moving it up into like the income section. Is that kind of what you're referring to?
It is income, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there would be a
contribution. Why are you listing it as a liability?
So when I took over my role here, I took the books from the prior person, and that's how it was. And so I kept it that way for this year because I didn't want to completely reorganize it. But for next year in 2018, we've reevaluated our chart of accounts to align with the strategic plan and institutional effectiveness plan. So that's why I would like to move it up. We've talked about this. I'd like to move it up there. That's where I think it makes sense. So that's my plan, but I didn't know what I'm still learning, I guess. So I didn't know what our guidelines were.
What's that?
Wouldn't it be an asset?
Generally, if you're not paying them. Mm-hmm.
It's two things. On the balance sheet, it'll be it is an asset.
Yeah.
Which, again, speaks to treating it as a present valuing it and capturing it now. And then you would recognize, from a cash standpoint, you recognize the cash whenever the payments are made. And then you also pick up that other 30% that you're not going to recognize that. Do you have any expenses associated with fundraising? Do you have any development costs, fundraising costs?
We have a partnership budget line that we have to entered into some market share agreements with the University of West Scotland. They have a master's program but not a doctoral program, so that's kind of our only right now until after post accreditation.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that again speaks to why you should treat it as a above the line and as a revenue. Not as an expense.
Okay.
So
you book the what you expect to get in this fiscal year as a current asset.
Right.
As a receipt.
Right. As on the balance sheet, but on the income statement, you book the whole thing.
1 cent.
You book the 1.5, and your accountants will tell you what percentage of it.
Okay.
Usually, about 70%. So that's $1 million. You just added $1 million of revenue to your income statement. Which and I mean, in the end, it doesn't really matter because you have a history of receiving that amount, on a quarterly basis. But if you are, you know, trying to line everything up from an accreditation standpoint, it just strengthens your financial portion of the application.
Okay. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
All right, we're done.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Dynamic worldwide training.
Season's greetings. I thought I would start with that.
There you go.
Sort of ending.
D, L, and L. Yeah. Please introduce yourselves. And
I'm Mary Pendleton. I am the director of the continuing education portion of Dynamic Worldwide and HR.
I'm Dr. Carl Forkner. I'm the chief operating officer and director of training at Dynamic Worldwide.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Neither of the Warrens are here.
No.
Okay.
Dave's in Salt Lake City, actually. He's an instructor. He goes and meets with our big clients.
He is up there this week writing new exams for Juniper Networks.
Okay. Care to update us?
Sure. Last time we met, I projected $100,000 to $110,000 at the end of the year being up. We're actually going to hit right around $150,000 to $170,000 for a profit this year, as opposed to $16,000 loss last year. We did this through a number of ways. We reduced overhead costs. We closed our Raleigh, North Carolina operation, relocated all those assets back to our Phoenix, Tempe location to reuse them there. The internet contract on Raleigh was up in August. The negotiated payoff for the lease, the last payment is next month, which will put $13,000 a month into the revenue stream that we are now paying out of it. We are closing the week of Christmas and coming back the day after New Year's. We did this because in the past we've had historically low enrollments during that period, and when you compare that to the cost of resources needed to teach those low enrollment classes, the numbers just didn't work out. So we decided we would close it and let people take vacation days during that time. We also will be completely closed, so no utility costs and things of that nature during that time. We have increased the level of automation that we're using, which has reduced error rates and time spent in many of our processes in the company, from registration to students, through the end of the student experience, through our own personnel work.
We also paid off a data center, the building itself, so we got that paid off.
We've simultaneously increased proportionally our revenue stream. We realized that the WIOA program is no longer going to be a very viable program for training institutions. It was announced at their 19 October meeting that 75% of the grant money actually goes to overhead administrative costs and 25% goes to helping people. And because of the audit they had last year, 2016, they are being redirected to job placement as the primary goal of the program, unless somebody lacks basic skills for being able to get a living wage type of job. So even though the money started flowing again on 1 November, the vast majority of that money has gone into job placement, not into training. So we have increased our project work for vendors. We are doing projects for Juniper Networks. We've been the number one partner with them for 14 years. Writing all of their practice exam test banks to a $67,000 project, which take no additional assets. We are the only Fortinet premier provider of training come the 1st of January. That means that only us and the company itself can provide the upper level certification courses for that increasingly taken line of courses. It's all about internet security, so it's a hot topic, of course, in cybersecurity. We have, with Pulse Secure, we are the only live instructor-led training in the country for them. We are also their curriculum developer. We do custom courseware for companies, which is going to help us because it allows us flexibility in being able to target training to what the company wants, as opposed to, well, we really don't want this whole course. What we'd like is this. Okay, we can adopt that course to what you need. So we're meeting direct needs of the customer. We're focusing some of our curriculum on contemporary issues in our business skills side. Two new courses that start at the beginning of the year are Women in Leadership and Sexual Harassment Prevention. I have the joy of teaching that one. I was for 5 years a federal EO officer, so I'm excited about that one. We developed outside the box training that takes you from that takes us from the training environment to the real world environment. It bridges that gap. So we're adding things to our curriculum to help students walk out, walk into the environment, and actually be able to do the stuff, not just know the theory. We are beginning a line of workshops starting in 2018 to help build the brand. Veterans workshops, using our facility on a weekend once a month. I'm a dementia-friendly Tempean, Arizona champion trainer, and it's a free course, but it will get us out in the especially local environment.
So you're going to do what?
Use our facility, our conference room, to provide that free training. It's a hour and 15 minute long seminar to help people understand how to approach and what things are available to help people with dementia and other memory disorders.
I too am a dementia-friendly Tempe champion.
Awesome. Great program, isn't it?
Yeah.
New materials come out at the end of the year.
Great.
We're going to have job assistance seminars. We have a revolutionary job search assistance kit that we give to all of our grant program students that come through, that takes them from, okay, first I need a pen and a piece of paper, all the way through how to do follow-ups, interviews, track the resumes and applications they've sent to companies, and so forth. And then we're going to continue support for Career Connectors and for Arizona at Work. Career Connectors started in 2009. It's a 501c3 that has once-a-week meetings in Gilbert, Phoenix, Scottsdale, and Glendale, that brings together hiring companies and resources for people that are in between careers.
Is that all?
Well, I can go on.
If
we look ahead to January and February.
And you're in the black, $27,000 starting out the fiscal year for the first quarter, as I understand your financial statement.
Yeah, we worked very hard to get all of our loans paid off, to get ourselves sitting well, investing money back into, it's a technology company. We have to invest money back into staying cutting edge. But we've worked very hard to get things paid off so that we can realize some sort of profit.
Congratulations.
November's numbers, we had a $37K loss last year, $47K profit this year. December, 55K loss last year, and even with a week of not having classes, instead of a loss, we're going to break even. And that's going to bring us to the end of the year. Last year we were 16K in the hole. This year we'll be about 170K to the good.
Fantastic.
Both January and February are tracking above 300K each month, which puts us in the realm of a 30K plus profit each month.
Okay, excellent. What effect do you think it'll have on your balance sheet? You'll be able to get your ratio.
It's going to have a profound effect. We're going to have, starting February, 13K that is coming out of liabilities and will stay in assets because of the final payment on Raleigh. We are continuing to lean out. We have also, our sales staff has been given direction on what their maximum discounting can be on classes. They used to go a little bit hog wild, and now it's back to reasonability so that, you know, it. We're good at what we do. Why are we discounting so much, right? So we also put our sales staff on a low base plus commission starting this year, which has increased the students coming in, because them getting registrations and people taking the courses is going to put the food on the table. So it incentivized that for them. We're also building reputation. 100% of our PMP students that graduated from our course are working in the industry. 100% of our CompTIA students, 100% of our Microsoft Tech students that went through the continuing education program under WEA, and Cisco students, 100% of those are working in the industry.
Other questions? Just an update to the report. We need to add a W to the URL. So it's DWWTC. We have DWTC, so I went and checked out the Dubai World Trade Center. But otherwise, you know, I noticed the increase in your profitability year over year, so congratulations. And hopefully you're continuing to the next year and you'll be able to get your asset liability ratio right-sized.
And we are a degree granting institution, but the only degree that we grant is a degree of customer satisfaction.
Thank you.
Did I say that again? Did I do that again?
Please have a mess.
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. You're just messing with me. Yeah.
And I got to say, I love listening to the prior group because I do psychological studies. I do psychological research. So.
Well, reach out to them. You collaborate.
Yeah.
Hard.
Anything else for us, sir?
Thank you. Good. Thank you so much.
That's us, and we're going to go.
Yep.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Fortis College. Could we take a minute break?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
2 minutes.
That was it. As soon as you got up, we're like, oh man, we need a break.
Kind of like icing a field.
5 minutes. Yeah, right.